Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Dr. Leo McKay, Deputy Secretary of Veterans Affairs. And joining us in our conversation is Jonathan Brule.
Along with the department's strategic goals, VA has also articulated a series of enabling goals. Can you describe the purpose of the enabling goals for us?
Well, the enabling goals are the sinews that kind of hold together all the other things that we're trying to do on a strategic level. And they consist of information technology and its proper management, workforce planning, the important people capital issues, and then also communication and outreach so that both our employees and veterans are knowledgeable of their opportunities in the department and what the department is doing for and with them. And then lastly, our last enabling goal is governance, making sure that there's an orderly process by which we consider issues in turn across the board and produce output in the form of decisions that are well-staffed, well-structured, and implementable.
I also understand that asset management is one of VA's key goals, and we've learned about the CARES program, the Capital Asset Realignment for Enhanced Services. I wonder if you could tell us more about that.
A very fascinating program, very necessary program. The Department of Veterans Affairs, as you might expect, has had several waves of building in the 20th century, largely coincident with the aftermath of the great wars of the 20th century, First World War, Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. And when those hospitals and other structures were built, they were built where veterans were in the early part, middle part of the 20th century. And so we find ourselves with and basically we're talking about the medical, not exclusively, but predominantly the medical infrastructure of VA, with an infrastructure that is growing older, that was built for a practice of medicine that was hospital-centric, and we have now moved with the rest of American medicine to an outpatient model, where about 85%, a little bit more actually, of our healthcare is delivered in an outpatient vein. Also, veterans have shifted. There's some very strong demographics in the veteran population, whereas we have about 25 million veterans now. We have a rate of loss with our World War II and Korea veterans of about 1,500, a little bit more every day are being lost. And what was a cohort of some 12 to 15 million is now down to about 5 million, and that will continue to decrease. And it will, over time, as that generation continues to leave us, take our veteran population from about 25 million down to about 17, 18 million, unless there is some large perturbation in the current day active duty population over the next 10, 12, 15 years. Also, veterans, like the rest of the country, are choosing to live in different places, in places where we had needed structure because we were giving hospital-centric care to a large population of veterans that were in an urban area. That population may have shifted, and our need for a tertiary care facility in that area may have shifted. What people need to understand, though, about CARES is it is a capital asset realignment to more closely mirror the patterns and the demography of veterans and their needs. The ES in CARES is for enhanced services. CARES is not BRAC, which is another government program, which was a realignment and closure. This is really about realigning capital, but to enhance services, so that people have to understand that bricks and mortar don't care for people in modern medicine. Trained healthcare professionals do. And dollars that we can save that are not devoted to keeping out-of-date or unneeded, unused infrastructure maintained, heated, cooled, what have you, are dollars that can be put back into the care of veterans so that they have first-class health care.
You chair the VA's Strategic Management Council. Can you tell us about the council, goals, its responsibilities? Just how does the council facilitate the strategic management throughout the department?
Sure. It's a two-step process. The Strategic Management Council, which I chair, takes decisions and policy matters, invets them, works them over, massages them, and makes them decision ready for something we call the VA Executive Board, which is the secretary, myself, and the principal officers, the CFO and the undersecretary of those three administrations. The Strategic Management Council looks at both IT and HR issues, strategic planning, capital planning, asset management issues, and then also the legislative process and the budgetary process. We take each in turn in a structured pattern now. We have process owners that own the practice of those within VA. It is a cross-cutting group that assembles in the Strategic Management Council so that the whole of the department is knowledgeable about these big issues that affect all of us. And we really work very hard in there to structure decisions in these six major areas so that the executive board has decision-ready documents, and that the decisions, when they are arrived at, are fully staffed and have implementation plans so they can be rolled out to the rest of the department or to whatever applicable sphere that they pertain to, and so that we can continue to move down the road in a policy sense.
I know one of the areas that are often get focused on is the relationship between the Department of Defense and Veterans Affairs. Could you tell us about the Joint Executive Council?
Sure. Last February, David Chu, who is a wonderful interlocutor, I understand the history between DOD VA relationships has not been all that it could have been. But certainly, we at VA could not have anyone better to work with than Dr. Chu and his compatriots here, Bill Winkenwerter, Charlie Abel, very good, very able people that are serious about VA-DOD cooperation. And what the Joint Executive Council does is it's an umbrella group that Dr. Chu and I chair. We have two subsidiary groups, a Benefits Executive Council, which has Dan Cooper, our Undersecretary for Benefits, and Charlie Abel, their Force Management Assistant Secretary, as co-chairs. And then a Health Executive Council that actually antedates the Joint Executive Council, which has Bob Roswell, our Undersecretary for Health, and Bill Winkenwerter, the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, as co-chairs. And we meet quarterly in the Joint Executive Council. The Benefits and Health Executive Councils meet more frequently. And we have covered the gamut of issues from resource sharing between VA and DOD, where we have proud to report that in fiscal year 2002, we've made more than 100% increase in the amount of resources that are shared between VA and DOD. We also are leveraging our acquisition spend with regard to federal supply schedule prices that are negotiated by VA that are available to the Department of Defense. But also we're looking to expand our cooperation into med-surg supplies, and then lastly into medical equipment, kind of expensive things that we all buy in modern healthcare. We're looking at, we have an active program to leverage the DEER system, an enrollment system that DOD has, as a VA system, a means by which a single enrollment that captures data for a DEERS enrollment, that data will also be used for VA purposes. And some of the information that we need will now be sort of front-loaded into the DEERS system as we evolve this, so that they get all the data they need and we get the data that we need, so later on a veteran doesn't have to enroll twice in each system. We're looking at joint discharge so that and we actually have a pilot up running in the Pentagon, so that when a soldier, sailor, airman, marine musters out of the service and takes the discharge physical, that same physical and that same information will be used for compensation and pension purposes to qualify them for their disability rating from VA. We're working very hard on an overarching structure in information technology that will allow our two different patient record systems, computerized patient record system, that information in one system will be able to be moved to another system. We're working on the DOD to VA movement first, because that's one is most often needed. But we're looking at a structure in a building block fashion that will allow us to have interoperability between those two systems, and then finally with HHS, so there will be a total federal system of information technology that will be essentially transparent one to another. We are working on a pilot for consolidated mail order pharmacy systems that will allow people that go to military treatment facilities and need refills for their drugs to utilize the VA CMOPs. We have a well-established program that is extraordinarily inexpensive. And we're looking to make that available to the Department of Defense on a basis that would dovetail with their needs. There are other things that we're doing. Coordinate on deployment health as we look at contingencies that may face us in the future, so that we can do a better job, an ever better job, of coordinating the lifetime health care of those service members that go off and deploy in a contingency. So we are working on a plethora of things. In this, importantly, we're starting to look at joint strategic planning. This is a long-term effort because we both have our own strategic planning systems, our own ways of producing budgets and long-range plans, but we need to harmonize those so that we look across each other's capital planning so that we do things that are intelligent. We have individuals from DOD that are part of our National CARES Program Office right now. And when a second round of BRAC occurs, I believe in 2005, we will have the reverse, VA people actively planning so that in places where we have a VA facility and a DOD facility, if one or the other of us sees fit to move for capital asset realignment or other reasons, that a capability remains that could, you know, go a long way towards serving both communities. It's straightforward good government, and it is actually part of the president's management agenda for VA and DOD to increase their resource sharing and working together.
Great, that's a good stopping point. Come back with us in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with Dr. McKay of the VA. The VA has recently improved its score on the president's management agenda scorecard. How do they do this? We'll ask Dr. McKay when the Business of Government Hour continues.